Ephesians chapter 5, look in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Boy, thank God for that. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Now watch what your Bible says. Even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Can I tell you today that the church is ever so precious in that to the Lord. And he loves the church as he loved his own self. Now ain't that something this morning? Now to think about that, I got to studying on that. I thought, my soul, when I read verse 29, knowing what I'd read prior to this, and really dwelled on that scripture right there, because a lot of times we look at it as a husband loving a wife, and that is what the Lord wants us to see in that. But he said, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And that's how in verse 28, he says men are to love their wives, but we love our wives as Christ loved the church. And as Christ loves himself, and that's how he loves and cherishes and nourishes the church. Amen. And now that tickles me. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And we learned that is what a marriage is in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Now watch what your Bible says, husbands. Even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done. God, we for this morning. And Lord, I pray that the choir singing has blessed you this morning. And God, I pray that you'd help us now while we preach. We certainly stand in need of you. And Lord, there's never been a truer statement that I could make. I need you this morning. And that to come by and stir my heart and help me, Lord, while we preach. And Lord, just keep hindrances in that far away. Keep the devil at bay this morning. Lord, I truly believe this is the message for the hour. And God, I pray that you'd put your hand of blessing upon it. And Lord, that you'd stir your people's hearts this morning while we might preach. That God, if there's somebody here lost, that they'd come to be saved today. But Lord, but that the church and that could be strengthened. And that encouraged from the Word of God. And the Lord, that we could just fall in that deeper in love with you today. And we'll always be reminded of what you've done for us at Calvary. Lord, every day, knowing that you loved us and died for us so that we might be saved. God, I pray you'd save the one in the midst today. Help the one that has a need. Now forgive us where we do come short and do save that sinner that's nearest to you. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated. If you look in the prior verses to what we read, you learn in verses 15 and 16, you see the walk that we're to have in with the Lord. He told us to walk circumspectly. That means with caution, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're to walk as to be able to redeem the time. He tells us to be wise, and that in verse 17 and verse 18, to know what the will of God is for our life. And to be filled with the Spirit. In verses 19 and 20, we learn what we're to do toward the Lord and for the Lord. We're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody in your heart to the Lord. That's good to do. Amen. It's good to have a song in your heart. But he said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then as we come down, we read in these verses, in verse 22 through verse 33, the Lord in that deals with the church. And he uses, and I made this statement the other day, he uses the relationship and that between a husband and a wife, and that to describe his relationship between him and the church today. And listen, I think that marriage is very important thing, because listen, the Lord is not going to desert His church. Amen. Say amen right there. And He's not going to forget us. And I mean, even the Lord talks about with the nation of Israel, you know, can a woman forget her suckling child? And He said, but I'll not forget thee. Amen. Thank God for that. And for that promise right here. Now in verse 23, you see where it said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. So you see, and that quickly by way of introduction, you see the Savior and that of the church. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Pope, not the preacher, but friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the church today. And then we see in verse 24 the subjection of the church. He said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, we're to take our rule and that from the Lord. We take it and that from His book. He is and that the head of the church. So you know, there ought to be ruling your life today. The Lord Jesus ought to be ruling in your life. Amen. He is the head and that of the church. He's the head of the body. And according to the book of 1 Corinthians 12, when we get saved, we're baptized by one Spirit into one body, made part in that of the church. Friend, the Lord Jesus, you become subject unto Him. Amen. And the church as a whole is subject and that unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the Savior of the body and the subjection and that of the church. But then we see the sacrifice that was made in verse 25, where He talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I said all those things to say this, that the church is important to the Lord this morning. Listen, He created us. Paul says that the church, and that was a mystery that was hid from the foundation and that of the world, that even the Old Testament prophets didn't know anything about. But yet He revealed them, and that unto the Apostle Paul, and created His church in Jesus Christ. And to be saved, friend, is what makes you a part and that of the body of Christ. But let me ask you this question this morning. If it is important, if the church is important to the Lord, is the church important to us this morning? I want to preach on having a thought on thank God for the church. I got to thinking about this on the way to the nursing home there Friday afternoon, and like I got plumb been out of shape. I really did. I really got to thinking about the church. I'm telling you what the church means to me. Hey, listen, church is people. It ain't the building. It's the people that's been saved, born again, bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church means something to me this morning. And I pray that it means something to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, out of everything Paul has been through, he goes through all that, and at the very end of all the perils in the country, and perils in the city, and perils among heathen, and perils among his countrymen, and he talks about being in the deep a night and a day, and being shipwrecked, and all these things. And he said, and besides all these, the care of all the churches. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul cared and that for the church. And I believe that's something good for me and you to do, is to care and that for the church. Let me say this morning quickly, first of all, number one, why do I thank God for the church? Now, let me say that not every church, local, every New Testament local assembly is going to fit into this, but I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Number one, first of all, for the concern of the church. I mean the concern of the church. I got to thinking, here's what I like to got been out of frame about on the way to the nursing home. I got to thinking about the concern the 10 Sunday school teachers that I had when I was just little. I got to thinking about them women, and listen, they loved on us, snot-nosed brats and kids and everything, and just wanted to tell us about Jesus and loved on us. Hey, they were concerned and that about our soul. Amen. Hey, they were was somebody at the church had a concern, and that for sinners. You know what's happened today in churches? The Bible said in Proverbs 29 that where there is no vision, the people perish. We've lost vision of people. I tell you, we lose our vision sometimes. We forget what church is all about. We get unconcerned. We come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're not concerned about meeting. We're not concerned about service. We're not concerned about sinners. We're not concerned about whether the preaching goes well, whether the singing's good. We come in, bless me if you can. Whether you do or don't, you go back home in worse shape than what you come in. Listen, we've lost our concern as a church over lost people. And when we lose our vision, the ability to see their need and that of salvation, we might as well close the Bible, shut the door, nail Ichabod above it, and go on about our way. Amen. You know what the word Ichabod means, don't you? The glory of the Lord hath departed, and that from Israel. You know what happened? You know what happened over there? The Philistines, man, the children of Israel went out to fight the Philistines. And what did they do? Hophni and Phinehas, they were two priests over there, Eli's boys, and they took the Ark of the Covenant out and had to go fight against the Philistines. And the word of the Lord, and the word come back, and that to Eli. And you know what? He's sitting there on that seat, on that post over there. And the Bible said that tells them that Hophni and Phinehas have died. And he didn't. He. I'm sure that saddened his heart. But the Bible tells us when they come and told him that the Philistines had took the ark of the Lord, that's when he fell off the wall. That's what killed him, friend. One of those boys' wives went into travail, had that baby and named him Ichabod, because the glory of the Lord had departed in that from Israel. They had the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to tell you today, friend, when we lose our concern, when we lose our vision, right, Ichabod, she'll be done. No matter how much I preach, friend, when we as a church lose our concern over sinners, we're wasting our time. Amen. As a church. Well, thank God for the church. Boys, I'm telling you, I understand there's a lot of work goes in to get sinners saved. I know the Holy Spirit's got to move and all these things. But boy, I'm glad there was a preacher stood up somewhere in my life that had a concern for the lost and preached judgment, hellfire hot, heaven sweet. I'm glad somebody done that along the way. There was a concern of the church to get sinners saved. Amen. My soul, the preacher stood up to preach and he preached the gospel. Well, I don't get done a whole lot today, does it?
That's right.
Yeah, listen, I don't get to go out too much.
That's right.
But I listen to the radio some. They some good Bible radio preachers. There really is.
Yeah. Amen.
And they some not so good. Yeah. Folk on TV that claim to be preachers. But as we seen Wednesday night, we talked about the gospel in Romans chapter 1. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
To the Jew first and also to the Greek." I was listening to old preachers talk the other day that interviewed them all the way back in 1999. Both of me and one of them had really been a full-time evangelist and one had pastored all his life, and they were just good friends, and they set them up on the stage at church. And I remember what one of them old ones said. He said them men that we was raised under, he said their theology and their doctrine wasn't all that good, but said they knew how to preach Jesus. They knew how to preach hell, and they knew how to get us saved. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, we've lost that. I said it Wednesday, and I'll say it again. I believe we have our theology right and our doctrine right, and we still need to preach Jesus. Amen. And still try need to get sinners saved. Amen. Hey, that's what we're missing today. Amen. It's folk that are concerned. Hey, I'm telling you, the church, I used to know how to pray. Amen. Not only did they know how to preach, not only the preacher knew how to get in touch with God, but the people knew how to do it too. Amen. I'm afraid that's what we miss. I'll be honest with you. Thank God for the church. I'm glad some folk knew how to pray. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it'll be good. I'm glad they knew how. I'm telling you, listen, they knew how to pray. And that for the preacher, amen. When he got ready to preach, thank God. Y'all do pray for me, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Y'all, Lord, pray for me through the week. Amen. Pray for me. I mean, I need all the help I can get. I'll be honest with you. I do. You know what will make a difference in this church? If we'll get concerned about some things. Boy, I mean, get concerned for the lost. You want to see God do something? I'm afraid sometimes we just get stuck in a rut. Now, I know how church goes. I know. I mean, we're up a while, and we're down a while, and we're up a while. I mean, there's seasons to a church. I understand that. I know. There's a summer season and a reaping time, you know, and a harvest, and a fall comes. And then it seems like winter time comes. But, boy, ain't you glad when winter gets over with? And, boy, spring comes. And it begins to liven up a little bit. And we begin to see that little seed of revival come. And boy, where folk get excited. You know why you get excited? Because you get concerned about some things. Boy, when we lose our concern, that old fallow ground just keeps getting harder and harder, don't it? Well, the Old Testament scripture said to break up that fallow ground. But we need preachers that'll preach the gospel. Amen. Get concerned for the lost and preach the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen. It's not water baptism that'll save you, but it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've sat back on water baptism thinking that's going to get you into heaven, friend, you're going to have a rude awakening one day. You can stand before the judge or the great white throne and tell him that you were baptized, but that ain't what he's looking for. He's looking for a blood-washed saint of God that's had their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that has trusted you. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, just the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Hey, you know why we've lost our power? Sitting in church, men in my position have lost their concern and that to preach the gospel. Amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've lost it. Lost our concern. And lost our vision. Now, I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God, and I'll deal with that later on in this message. And there's times that we're going to disciple and we're going to train and we're going to do those things from this pulpit right here. I said, Brother Larry said it while preaching revival. I said it Wednesday night. But if we get too far in that from the cross, we're wasting our time. Amen. Let me say, if you wasn't here Wednesday night, we had a time in here. Amen. You missed it. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to tell us tonight or today, church, telling the preacher too, it's time to be concerned and that about the lost. Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's not hid to us. We know the gospel. Our responsibility is the gospel. We're to promote the gospel, publish the gospel, preach the gospel. We're to do whatever it takes to get the gospel out and see sinners saved. Amen. Listen, not only am I to preach the gospel, we are to publish and promote the gospel as a church. Amen. I mean, take our time and that to witness and that to people that were around. Now, I believe it'd be good if you started with your family. Amen. And I believe it'd be real good to start with the folk that you're around and tell them and that about the Lord. You know why churches used to grow? Because folk would go out and try to win folk and that to the Lord. You get them in here, I'll preach the gospel to them. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to take it out there and give it to them. Amen. Listen, we're to redeem the time because the days are evil. We're to be about our business, be concerned, and that with the gospel. Whatever it takes to publish it, we need to publish it. The Bible says in Psalm 68, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. He gave us the word, didn't he? He's given us the word. We ought to be the great company that publishes it today. Not what you think, not Baptist doctrine. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. But it ain't the Baptist getting me there. Amen. I was talking to a feller the other day. We started out on a conversation, and he told me he was christened down there in the Methodist church 86 years ago. I thought, well, I'm dealing with a Methodist. I thought, well, I can deal with this.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I can talk to him. We'll be all right. And you know, we'll just talk about the Lord here, and I'll find out some things. Well, by the time I got to the end of that conversation, That old boy's lost his ball in high weeds.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he's 86 years old. Don't know if the Bible's real. And what tipped me off to some things is he's 86 and he kept talking about going to church with his grandmother. I thought, man, you ain't been to church in years. If you're 86 and you went with your grandmother, I'd say, now she might be old, but she ain't that old. Amen. And I just began to piece some things together here. And he began talking about living overseas and all those things. And the more he talked, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, just a good man. And I thought, boy, you ain't saved. You ain't going to heaven. And he don't believe in heaven. He don't know if heaven's real. Don't know if hell's real. I know those places are real. I told him that. I said, look, I've tried that book. I know it's real. He said, I'm glad it worked for you. He said, I'm glad that the Bible worked for you, but it ain't never worked for me. And I thought, if you believe it, amen, it just might work for you. Amen. I don't know how we got there, but ain't it good? Amen. But listen, we got to have a concern. Can I tell you this morning, Sunday school teachers, have a concern for them young'uns in your class. I'm serious. Have a concern. Have a concern to pray for them. Have a concern to study and teach them young'uns, because you never know who you've got. Amen. You never know who's sitting in your Sunday school class. I mean, we just don't know. We don't know these young'uns as they grow up what God's got in store for them. There's no telling. I'll guarantee you they didn't think God was going to make no preacher out of me. And sometimes I wonder how he did. Amen. But listen, I remember. You say, well, I don't have that. Yeah, but I did. Amen. I thank God for the church. I thank God for some of them women that was faithful in that to teach them Sunday school classes. I remember Miss Shirley. She's done gone been on with the Lord now. I died last year, I believe it was, and she taught with flannel boards. She had one of them flannel boards and had them pictures of all them people, you know, and animals and all kinds. See, it's amazing what they remember. You see, I remember 42 years old. I can remember all that stuff from growing up. I remember that they taught us what the Word of God said in Sunday school. Amen. I tell you, we need to be concerned. Need to be concerned for these little ones running around here that they'll get saved early. Amen? Get saved early. Be concerned for the lost that come in. Be concerned for the lost that's around us. Listen, Paul said that, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Boy, he said, I'm just concerned. I'm concerned for the lost. Listen, he went on to say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Listen, we were to pray that the gospel gets in lost people's heart. He said that the word of God could have free course. What did he say over in Matthew chapter 13? A sower went forth to sow. Ain't that right? Sower went forth to sow, and there was some seed fell on the wayside, and the fowls of the air come and picked it up. Who's fowls of the air? The Bible tells us Satan was the fowls of the air in that parable. You know what happens a lot of times? We sow our seed. You ought to be sowing seed. And listen, it ain't our job in that to decide where we sow it at.
Amen.
Our job, just sow it wherever we may be. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Amen. I do. You know, a lot of times we want to sow it when we feel like sowing.
Amen.
And we don't want to do it anymore. Hey, you know when you sow it? When it's sowing time.
That's right.
Amen. And you know when it's sowing time's all the time.
Amen.
But you know, some falls by the wayside. Some falls on thorny ground. Some on stony ground. But the Bible said some on good ground.
Yes, hallelujah.
But you know what happens a lot of times? I believe we could get it on good ground if we just do a little praying. I'm honest. I'm going to ask you this question, but you don't have to answer it out loud. When's the last time you prayed for somebody that's lost? And I'm not talking about just at the dinner table. How many of you has God, and you don't have to answer this out loud either, be honest between you and God, how many of you has God a prior time? You need to have a prior time. You do. You need to have a prior time. And that, hey, listen, if you're going to tell me that you're concerned for the church and concerned and that for lost people, you better have a prior time or I'll call you a liar.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you ain't praying, I'll guarantee you ain't concerned.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I ain't telling you you got to spend an hour in prayer, but I do think you need to have a prayer closet and you need to go shut yourself up in that prayer closet and pray. Amen. Pray. You don't have to pray like I do. Listen, I go up and down these. I wish you would. It might help. Amen. But what I mean by that is to pray. I just start with a row and start working my way back and forth. I do. And I've got some buddies that pastor churches. And I pray for them. And I pray for their churches. And I pray for families outside of here. You say, I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you how I pray. Okay? I'm just telling you how I pray. And, you know, it does take a little time to do that. But I think as your pastor, you know what? Can I say this? I got thinking about this on the way to church this morning. You all make my life easy by letting me be full time. Because you all give me time to do what I need to do. Y'all give me time to study. Y'all give me time to pray. Listen, I remember working a public job. Even Pastor and I remember working a public job years ago. And it was tough. I mean, I was thinking the other day, a buddy of mine was talking. And back when I was younger, and not a word, son. We got to talking the other day. He was talking about what generation, they're millennials, you know. And said something about me and my wife being Generation X. And Nick said, oh, you've been around here since the country was started, you know. I'm 200 years old, you know. Where was I? I done lost my place now. Just having fun here just a little bit. But you know what? We do need to spend time in that being concerned for the lost. But can I say, not only concerned for the lost, but concerned for the Lord's people.
Yes.
Now I'm talking about thank God for the church. Thank God for the church. Or to be concerned for the lost. Huh? Or to be concerned. Church ought to have concern. Or to have a vision of people. Really, I mean, we're losing that, I'm afraid. We're becoming, we're just keepers. You know, I like this statement. We're just keepers of the aquarium instead of being fishers of men. And shame on us.
David, come on.
I'm going to be honest with you. Shame on us. And you might be backward and don't know how to talk to somebody about the Lord. You ought to practice. Amen, you ought to practice. And you say, well, no, you ought to practice. Get in there in your bathroom in front of a mirror or whatever you got to do and pray and ask God to give you the words to say and get you a handful of tracts. And like I say, if you have to, just stand around and just hand them out. Don't even say a word. Just hand them out or say, this is invitation to our church. And here's a track on the backside of it. Like I say, I like that non-confrontational stuff. I'll be honest with you, I do. I like non-confrontation. I like people to take that stuff. You know why I want somebody to take it? You know, if I'm being confrontational, and there's times to be confrontational, I understand that. But I'm not talking about that right now. And not everybody will take one all the time. But you know what? If you can get one in their hand, that word right there can do more than what you can. Amen. If you can get it in their house and get it on their coffee table. Amen. And get it in their heart. I'm telling you, it'll make all the difference in the world. Let me move on right here. Not only a concern in that for lost people. Paul prayed that Israel might get saved because they was lost. He wanted, and that the Word of God to have free course. That's why it's important to preach the book. The book. The book is what makes the difference. I can't make a difference, but the book with the Holy Spirit can make a difference this morning. But then there ought to be a concern in that for the Lord's people. I mean, you ever been in a church where it just seemed like that people really wasn't concerned for one another? I was so thankful to hear this. We had some visitors during revival, and one of the ladies that come in for revival come three nights, and she, I believe this is what said that we have such a family atmosphere here. That just thrilled me, tickled me to hear that. I mean that you go to church and you have a family atmosphere where it at least feels like that somebody is concerned for you. Now, we do lose our concern one for another if we ain't careful. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12 that there should be no schism in the body, that is a division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, notice what he said, there should be no schism, no division, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I really don't believe we're cliquish around here. But even I'm careful with that. Because we ought to have the same care one for another.
Right.
It don't matter. I ought to care the same for Brother Steve as I do for Brother Lewis and Sister Brenda and Miss Bethany. I ought to have the same care all the way across the board. And that's just not as being pastor. You should have that. Amen. You should have that this morning. The same care one for another. And I'm afraid even as the preacher, if I ain't careful, I'll lose that. And when I lose concern for the church, listen, we're really going to be in a mess. But if you lose concern for the church, you're going to be in a mess. Amen. And let me say this, that the church needs you.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I got studying on this. I leaned back in my chair the other day when I was studying this and going over it. I thought, my soul, you know, if we didn't have people, I mean, it takes people to have church. Amen. I don't want to preach to blank walls.
Right.
Amen. I preached enough blank faces over the years, amen, let alone blank walls.
Come on.
Amen. I tell you, you go to the nursing home sometime. Amen. I'll be honest with you, you ought to go with me someday. And some of you do go on Sunday, but we do have more people on Friday than we do on Sunday. But I mean, sometimes I'll have about 25 or 30 there on Friday morning. And, you know, half of them's asleep. And third of them don't know if they're in the world or not. They're still looking at you, but you don't know if they're in the world. And, but you know, when you get done and you go around through there and they say, "Preacher, we are so glad that you come by. And I enjoyed that message." Some of them had their eyes closed, but they wasn't asleep. They were sitting there listening. I tell them, I said, "You know why I come over here? You know, sometimes I go over there to be a blessing. I want to go be a blessing to them people. I do. I mean, in all honesty, I want to go be a blessing. But you know, most of the time, by the time I leave, it's been a blessing to me to get to go over there and be with them." And I'm using them as an example because just because they were not part of this church, of this local assembly, somebody needs to have some concern for them. Hey, there's some sitting over there saved, going to heaven, and somebody needs to be concerned for them and go over there and visit with them. I'm just saying that we ought to have a concern one for another. Somebody in the church is hurting, we ought to hurt with them. Somebody in here rejoicing, we ought to rejoice with them. Somebody got a need, we ought to meet that need if all possible. Listen, I'm going to deal with that some more tonight. But listen, the church ought to be concerned. We ought to be concerned about the Lord's people. We ought to be concerned and minister to their need. Listen, why do you think I go to the hospitals? I'm being honest. Now, if you look in the scripture, I mean, that's also a deacon's job. You know, they told him over here, choose you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, good report and all these things, you know, so that we may attend and act to the Word of God and not leave and serve tables. I understand all those things. But I also believe that as your pastor, my job is to minister to your need.
That's right.
But I believe that as the church, we're to minister to one another's needs. Amen. Now, not all the time do we know about the need of others. But when we find out, and if we can do something about it, we should do something about that. You might have already been in a place where somebody's already been. And you just might be able to go up and hug them on the back of the neck, tell them you're praying for them, God loves them, and you might have to tell them your story. And they may already know your story, but you might just have to remind them that God's seen you through whatever it was and that He'll see them through too. Sometimes you need to take a little time, and I need to take a little time, and that for the concern of the Lord's people. Not only a concern and a help during a physical time or when somebody has a spiritual need, but then there comes a time that we ought to be concerned and that about restoration. Now here, Brother Larry made mention of this in revival too. Boy, here's one that where we failed out in the Baptist church is being concerned about restoration. Bible said, brethren, Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When somebody has failed and is backslid on the Lord, how many times have we went to try to go restore them and show kindness to them? Not run them down. Now, there's time to tell them the truth. I've told you about that. I had to do a buddy of mine like that. I got him in the truck and he couldn't get away from me. And boy, God just, I wanted to get out of that. I wanted to get out of that truck. I didn't want to have to say what I was fixing to say. But I think he needed to hear it. And God was just impressing me so much to say it that I just loaded his wagon while I had him in there. But I done it out of love because I was concerned for him. And, you know, God don't make mistakes. I mean, He drives up my driveway and He gets up to the top of my driveway up out of the house and His serpentine belt breaks right there. I mean, out of all the places for a serpentine belt to break, right there in my driveway. Got you now, you know. But he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So how many of us are spiritual? What makes us spiritual? You ever consider what makes us spiritual? And I'm working on a message on the difference of emotionalism and spiritualism. And there is a difference. And we're both, by the way. We are an emotional creature. Don't let people tell you that we are not. We are emotional people.
But we should be spiritual people also. You know what makes you spiritual? You know what makes you spiritual? The growth and that in the Word of God will make you spiritual. The Bible said in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You want to be spiritual? Then have that fruit in your life. If you want to be spiritual. I remember when I first learned that. Man, that thrilled me. What to find out what to be truly spiritual meant. It is to have that love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's what it means to be spiritual. So he said, brethren, he's talking to saved people. He said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. So in other words, the ones of you all that have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You all that have that is in your life, that comes out of your life, because he said it's fruit that will bear out of your life. He said, for you all that have that, he said, restore such a one how? In the spirit of meekness. Not in hatefulness.
Right.
Not in judgmentalness. I mean, the book has already judged them. Mm-hmm. If a man be overtaken in a fault.
Right.
So somebody had to make a judgment that they were in a fault. Who makes that judgment? Well, the Word of God does. How do you know that they're in a fault? Well, the Word of God tells you that they are. I heard a preacher one time, either one of his people or he said it, I'm trying to remember. He made a statement that, here at church, we'll put more on you than what the Word of God does.
Yep.
And then laughed about it.
Yep.
Well, I understand a little bit about what they're saying. But I'm going to be honest with you. We got to be careful with some of that stuff.
Amen. Right.
We get Pharisaical.
That's right.
And legalistic on some things. And man, we'll just be like them Pharisees over there putting everything. You know, what did the Lord tell His disciples over there? He said that the scribes and Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. Mm-hmm. In other words, they are keepers of the law, but do not as they do, for they say and do not, and bind heavy burdens to be put upon men, you see.
Right.
Boy, I tell you, as independent Baptists, we do that.
Amen.
We bind heavy burdens and put upon men.
Amen.
Sometimes. I believe in living right. I'm going to deal with that here in the message. Man, I'm telling you, this thing's good, ain't it? Amen. We still on point one. But there ought to be, there. Let me move on or we're going to get stuck. I believe we're already there. But well, there ought to be restoration. We need to tell them about their truth, about their sin. But then we need to try to restore them, to tell them that the Lord will forgive them. And encourage them to get back into church and serving the Lord. I've been after a buddy of mine for a long time to get into church. Been after him. And I was laying on the couch Friday night. I wasn't feeling good. And I thought, man, I wish my wife's upstairs. She's watching a TV show that she wanted to watch. And so I thought, man, if you know me, I like to talk. I do. I love to talk. And I thought, man, I wish there's somebody I could call. And man, it probably wasn't about 5 minutes later, you know, my phone rings and it's my buddy that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And so I was talking to him and I said, well, where are you going to church at now? I said, you're going to church anywhere? And you know, the answers I've been getting here lately when I talked to him before, maybe about 2 months ago as well, I'm not going anywhere and ain't God in. And so I'd encouraged him to go and finally he's narrowed it down between two churches. And that just tickled me. I did. That tickled me that he's trying to get in. Amen. And get things started again. Amen. But there ought to be a restoration. We ought to have enough concern and that to restore people. Let me get to point number two and then we'll try to quit. Okay. Not only should there be a concern of the church. Now I'm talking about thank God for the church. But then there ought to be a commitment of the church. And you know what it means to be committed to something? That means to do or to engage in. You know, when you're committed to something, that means you're going to do it. Now, it don't matter what happens. Now, stay with me, okay? I won't spend as much time on this as I did on the first one, all right? You stay with me, and I'll get you out of here in just a minute. I'm paying attention. Man, it's just 11 o'clock. Man, it's just 11 o'clock. We're good, man. We're golden. It's just 11 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Oh, line clocks. Yeah, I hear you. Amen. Huh? Listen, but there ought to be a commitment of the church. I mean, what should be the commitment
of this church. I know it is to preach and to promote the gospel. We've looked at that. But if you take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy. Now here Paul is giving instruction for Timothy, who is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And so he's giving him some instruction and that for what he's to do in his church. And here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit, the same," let me back up, and "the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So what is the where is the commitment, and what should be the commitment and that of the church? It is to teach and that the Word of God and to train folk in the Word of God. That should be the commitment. The concern is for the lost and for the Lord's people to restore them when they need restoration. But the commitment in that is to the Word of God.
Amen.
So we're to be committed and that to this book. That no matter what, no matter what's going on out there, we're going to be committed to teach this book.
Amen.
We're going to be committed to preach this book. In our Sunday school classes, we're going to be coming. You say, "Boy, you're hanging out on Sunday school." I just remember that growing up. I thank God for the church, amen,
yeah,
that they were committed to teaching this book. They didn't always, in the church that I grew up in, they didn't always have the right version either. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, we're King James. We're King James only, amen.
Yeah,
we're King James only, but I'm glad they were Simon there that was committed to teach that book. Amen? And you may have grown up like I did, but the Lord, He enlightened me on some things when it came to that. But hey, I'm going to be honest with you. You need to be committed, Sunday school teachers. Be committed to teach them Sunday school classes. Study the Word. Teach the Word. Hey, listen, have a touch of God in your life. Them young'uns will realize that and recognize that there's something different and that about you. Amen. I want a touch when I live, when I walk in the building. I'll be honest with you. I want you to be able to see the touch of God in and on my life. When we meet out town, I want a touch and just a touch from heaven. That friend, that it can be seen, not for my sake, but one that would please and that the Father and bring glory to Him. Amen. He said in what? In the book of Matthew, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I don't want a touch of God on my life for my sake.
Yeah, there you go.
I want a touch of God on my life for His sake.
Amen.
Amen. He would be glorified.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got there. Ain't that good? Hey, but listen, we need faithful men and faithful women that's going to be committed and that to the church. Miss Evelyn, she's sick. She's not feeling well now. And she's got some health problems. But Miss Evelyn talks about when it was her and another lady and the preacher here at the church. Two ladies and the preacher. Them two ladies was committed to make sure that the door stayed open. Do you know how disappointing it had to be to come on Sunday in and Sunday out? And just be two? Huh? Well, think about that for just a second. I don't know what happened. I don't know how all that happened. But I'm going to be honest with you, friend. There's sometimes that it gets hard.
Amen.
Church is going to get hard. Serving Christ is going to get hard. But you know what we do? What did He say in verse 1? He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 3 said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We got to be strong in grace and that to be committed. When you get committed, you're going to do what you're supposed to do, no matter whether anybody else is doing what they're supposed to do or not. Amen. Going to be committed. He said, be strong in grace. And so it takes then that the strength that comes from the grace of God to keep going. And then he said, we're going to have to endure some hardness and that to go through some things and to keep it going. Need to be committed.
The commitment of the church. The commitment. Whether you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. Whether I do it, you're going to do it. We need to be committed. Got to keep going. What did he say in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9? What did he say? He said, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what happens? We get weary in well-doing. Some of you need to get committed. Hey, you need to get committed to the faithfulness of the church. To be faithful to church. He said, well, I ain't worried about what this one is doing.
Come on.
I know we look at each other sometimes, but shame on us. Need to be committed to the Word of God. The Word of God says to be faithful.
Amen.
Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. Amen. We need to assemble together. Listen, but we need to be committed and that to the Word of God. I don't know how we got on all that, but ain't it good? Amen. But listen, I mean, and that to train and to teach those that are coming up under us. Need to be committed to that. Sometimes it gets hard to train them up. Seems like they don't want to listen. It's like they got better things to do sometimes. Hey, let me tell you, young people, be careful where you get your instruction at.
Amen.
What do you mean? Hey, the Bible said, cease, my son, to hear instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 19. You better be careful where you're getting your instruction at. You better be getting it out of that book. Now this pulpit, listen, not everything that's got a steeple sitting on top of it is the right church either. Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You better be careful where you're taking your doctrine from.
Amen.
If I can get it out of the book, that's good. You take it and you lick it up. Amen. You love it up if it's coming out of the book. But if it ain't out of the book, you better leave it alone. Amen.
Amen.
Won't get you in trouble. You ought to go down and teach the next class sometime. I love them. Love y'all. You know the preacher loves y'all, don't you? Look at all of them over here. But man, they're so quiet when you go down there to teach that class. You don't get nothing hardly out of them, do you? Amen? You know, one thing I like is they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? They're at that stage where they're just not going to say a whole lot. Not during Sunday school. You get them outside and they might talk your ear off. Ain't that right, Smiley? Huh? I might do that. But be committed. Teach your children how to be committed to the Word of God. Parents, teach your kids how to be committed. You know how you teach them to be committed? You be committed. They'll see it in your life. Grandparents, teach them grandchildren. Mom, Daddy may not be doing it, but you do it. How's that? Let them see God in you. Amen? Let them see that book be important to you. Let them see church be important to you. Let them see serving Jesus be important to you. Just be committed to all that stuff. Be committed to all of it. I mean, it'll make a difference. Hey, listen, we ought to be committed to teach. Ought to be committed to teach, but then be committed in that to toil. Be committed in that to toil. The work. I know that I've already mentioned this, but listen, we ought to be committed in that to show up in our time. We ought to be committed with our tithe. We ought to be committed in that with our talents. Listen, whatever we can do in that to further and that the cause of Christ and the work of the church, we ought to do it. Amen. Be committed in it. I'm going to do it. Not if something better else comes up. I'm going to do it. If something else comes up, then something else is going to have to wait. I'm going to do it. I mean, that's the thought you have to have.
Amen.
They wanted to meet with Nehemiah. They wanted him to come down off the wall. And Nehemiah said, I cannot come down off the wall, for the work is too great.
Amen.
The work is too great for us not to be committed. It's too great. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. I'm going to close, okay? He said this, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together under the height thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah had a mind to work, but Nehemiah couldn't build the wall. The people had to be committed. Had to have the mind to work. You know what? I can have the mind to pastor and the mind to work and to preach. But it ain't going to go nowhere until the church has a mind to work and be committed to it and say, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be committed to the work of the Lord. Listen, thank God for the church.
Hey, it was the church that got me saved.
Amen.
I know the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I know all that. I understand how I got saved. I understand all that. So don't go out here and say I'm teaching and preaching heresy. But it was the church that got me saved. Somebody in the church, amen, taught me the Word of God, dealt with me about the Word of God.
Amen.
And you say, I didn't get saved in the church. Yeah, but somebody from the church come by and handed you a tract or talked to you or done something. Hey, somebody was committed from the church to do the work and the will of God in their life. Amen. Thank God for the church. I believe if Jesus loved the church enough to save the church, I believe we ought to be concerned about it. Or to be concerned. Or to be concerned people. Or we ought to be committed people. Amen. That's church. Amen. Let's bow our heads across the house. Let's get some verse of invitation.